Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to be back with you here this morning. We missed last week, but it's great to be back here and back in our normal spot here in the corner room of the historic Clay County Courthouse. Got a good show coming up this morning. Miss April Smith Patterson come back in. She's come back in for her, I don't know, quarterly visit, I guess, or sometimes it's semi-annual, to talk about some of the things going on out at the Smith Family Industries is kind of the blanket name now.
That's the blanket name.
That covers a whole bunch of things, and we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of things here this morning. And we've got a big football game coming up this weekend. With Westmoreland, we're ranked number, I think, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere along in there in the state again this year. Off to a great start in that. Our ladies volleyball team won a hard match on Thursday. And I'd like to do a shout out there to former employee, Mr. Jackie Cherry, whose granddaughter is a starting member as a freshman of the volleyball team. And of course, I know Jackie's been playing volleyball since he was about 2 years old, I think, maybe probably still playing. And we've got a number of great young ladies that are playing volleyball, but I thought I'd just do a shout out to her since there was a connection there to Honest Abe. And let's see, we've got coming up next weekend, we've got a cruise in here around the courthouse sponsored by the Canton Lodge. So everyone remember that. And we just got lots of things going on. You just need to go on the Clay County website and look up some of the events. And then you can also go to the Honest Abe website and look up some of the events they've got coming up. And I know they have usually, if not weekly, monthly things going on out there, like log raisings and all those kind of things. And we'll be talking about some of those in just a little bit. But right now we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in this morning. And we'll have a list of birthdays and anniversaries that we'll be doing today. If I can find my list here, wherever I laid it here in a minute. But I know we've got that, and we've got just a bunch of things to talk about with April. And beginning, we'd like to thank the folks that make this show possible here each week, that being the three-star folks and also over at the Chamber of Commerce. And we would really appreciate them, and we appreciate all the folks that help keep our radio station alive here with their sponsorship of the various things here going on in and around the county of Clay. And with that, I think we'll take a little short break. We'll come back and we'll get started on today's show.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Individuals with substance use disorders are particularly susceptible to suicide and suicide attempts. Indeed, suicide is a leading cause of death among people who misuse drugs and alcohol. Approximately 22% of deaths by suicide involve alcohol intoxication with a blood alcohol content at or above the legal limit. 20% of suicide attempts involved opioids, including heroin and prescription painkillers, and 10.2% involved marijuana. The road to recovery can feel lonely, but there are resources to reassure you that you are not alone. Your path to recovery may look different from others, but recovery is possible and help is available. If you or someone you know is at risk of overdose, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-899-9789 for a 24/7, 365 resource for substance abuse treatment referrals. Or call the new 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline that provides free and confidential emotional support to people in suicidal crisis or emotional distress, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Resources and more information are also available at www.samhsa.gov. Recovery from substance use is possible, and suicide is preventable. This project is funded under a grant contract with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. As I said earlier, Ms. April Smith Patterson is here with us this morning. Sometimes I'm real bad about forgetting these young ladies when they get married that they have changed their last name the traditional way. I know the big deal now is you get married, but you keep your maiden name and that kind of thing. But we don't do it that way here in Clay County, do we?
Sure don't.
We're kind of proud of our spouses when we're lucky enough to get one.
I know. I sure am, especially one you're not related to. So.
Well, sometimes you got to go at least maybe sometimes two states over to find them.
You do. Luckily, Nick was from Alabama, so that worked out well.
Used to, you courted usually no more than an air mule ride from where you lived. we better not get into that. So, good morning, April.
Good morning, Thomas.
It's always a fun day when you come by, and I know with you, sometimes it's hard to know where to start.
I don't even know where to start, Thomas, most of the time. So don't you worry. We'll just. Anywhere you want to start, we'll be happy to.
Well, I know that there are so many things that not only the business things that you're involved in. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, have you written any more children's books?
We are writing one. We're in the process right now of finishing another one, so I'm hoping that we get to launch that sooner rather than later. I think having a little one was more than I realized, so it's been a little harder to finish some tasks. But we are working on another one.
Has he learned to read yet?
Well, he hasn't learned to read yet, but he loves books.
But he learned to talk.
He does know how to talk. He's very, very good at that. That is true.
Okay, now, this book, without giving anything away, is it a have a theme or?
It does have a theme. I will share our title is Where, Oh, Where Would We Be Without Trees? So it's a, more of a forestry type book.
Okay, which is a very important subject.
Yes. And a very big industry here in our county and surrounding areas, for sure.
You know, and that is something that I guess a lot of folks don't realize. You know, I grew up in a family, and I know as April did, with the logging tradition. My dad, he worked for Cordell Carter for basically his entire lifetime. And, of course, Cordell, he had a sawmill at one time, lots of things. I know bought boundaries of timber. I think my first job was pulling the rope behind a D4 Caterpillar, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's when I decided a college education wasn't a bad idea.
I understand that.
And then at one time they got into the house moving business, and I even helped with that. So if you need anything on that, don't give me a call, but I could move a house if I had to.
I'm going to keep that in mind, Thomas.
I still remember how you put all that stuff together and put it under a house and hook it behind a big truck and move it down the road. But okay, April, I know you've got your list over there of things, and just start.
Well, we'll just start. Well, it's always an honor to get to be here. I always get excited when you ask me to stop by. There is a lot going on. We're finally bringing the log raisins back to Honest Abe. You know, when COVID hit, we kind of had to stop that for a while, but we're bringing our first one back October the 22nd, so we're excited about that. We also got a big barn sale coming up, a Southern Marketplace, October 7th and 8th. We're real excited about this one. We'll have over 90 vendors, and there's all kinds of great food, and I think the biggest thing for us there is just finding a way to support those small businesses in our area and surrounding areas, because that's just a beautiful thing that they get to come. We get to have that many people in one spot that love to share what they do with others, and that's real fun. And
okay, the range of people that are there.
Oh, there's basket weavers. Miss Barbara Boone comes. She'll have baskets. We've got a weaver this time that will come and weave on site, like tapestries and different things. There's boutiques. There's jewelry. There's caramel apples. I mean, I just kind of kettle corn.
Lots of old traditional things, plus lots of.
Right.
And speaking of boutiques, we now have a boutique in here.
I know, and I think they're coming. I believe they're definitely on the list to come and set up, and it's just a great place to be able to have there on the family farm, to not only share our family farm and history with folks, but to share these small businesses, because it's a big deal. It's part of their livelihood, and we're able to get a lot of folks in that'll help support them. So that's always means a lot to me to get to see that. But now I love business, Thomas.
All right.
Entrepreneurs, and I love that. That is a great thing. And we're even doing some classes this time. Miss Barbara Boone's hosting a basket weaving class, so you can actually come and weave your own basket. We've got a hat. They call them hat bars. They're very interesting. You'll pick out your hat, and then you get to embellish it, and feathers, and the ropes, and the ribbons. So that's exciting. We sold out so fast, we had to open up some more classes for it. And then we're even doing a charcuterie class, how to do a charcuterie board, which I had no clue really what that was about until, you know.
Well, what is that?
Well, so you get this board, just a wooden board or a slate board, and they teach you how to make, it's very interesting, it's like this big appetizer. There's cheeses and there's meats and fruits and nuts, and they show you this really fancy way of how to display it, like you make a rose out of salami, and it's very interesting. I'm going to take the class myself because I want to learn.
So it's decorative eating.
It's decorative eating, yes. It is too pretty to eat when you get done, but it's like a big snack tray, a real pretty one.
That would work great at formal gatherings.
It would be. It sure would.
Because I'm sure there's one for weddings and birthdays.
Oh, yes. I've seen people with charcuterie boards, just like multiple charcuterie boards and different layers of it. And it's just incredible what people can do. So I'm excited about that class because I want to learn myself. There's so much, Thomas, I can't even think. We've even got a petting zoo coming for the kids, and kids are always free to come and That's exciting. That'll be on Friday from 4 to 6, and I know the kids love a petting zoo and getting to see all the animals. So.
And, you know, it's amazing how normally most farm animals and animals in general that are tame animals or semi-tame, they know when a young child is in their presence. I mean, isn't that amazing how that, you know, they may be belligerent towards you, April, but if your son walks up, he can walk up there and grab them around the neck and wrestle with them and play with them.
It's amazing. My little boy we have a little pig, Thomas, that follows us around everywhere. It's kind of like Mary had a little lamb, but Axel had a little pig. It goes everywhere with us. It loves him. It is amazing. It really is.
Sometimes we ought to be that way, shouldn't we?
That's right. We should. Loving and sweet and kind. Yes, I agree 100%. Goodness, there's just so much. So if y'all are in the area, I know that that's kind of the end of fall break, but we sure would love to have you October 7th and 8th on our family farm with over 90 wonderful small businesses that you can come out and shop with and eat, and it's just a great time. Got music, all kinds of things.
Is Shane having his car automobile get together?
Well, I don't know that he'll. Now, if you want it, Thomas, I'll make that happen.
Well,
get some out. But he's slimmed down just a bit on the cars lately. But that's still something that we still have. That's still really special to us.
That's kind of traditional, isn't it?
It's a tradition. That is for sure.
I'm good at throwing people off.
No, I'm ready. I'm just trying to think here. What next? Well, it's definitely harvest season for all the farmers in the area.
Okay. Now, that's something, right, that's real serious. I know we, in the past few days, the networks have come across the stories about the corn crops all over certain areas in Tennessee. And I was going to ask you about the corn crop here in Clay County. Has the so-called drought and the wet, has it really had a adverse effect on your expected yield this year?
It has absolutely had an effect on the expected yield, especially whenever we didn't get the amount of rainfall that was needed for the corn to fully develop the kernels. But we're still thankful we didn't lose our crop. A lot of states and a lot of areas are still devastated by the loss of their crops. So we are very fortunate and blessed that we still are able to harvest something, I will tell you that. So we are in full swing of harvesting corn. I know that we're still in silage. We'll harvest silage and actually wrap it in individual bales with this really cool machine that come from Europe of all places.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that going on, and I know it's fall calving season. Lots of farmers in the area's got some calves being born just every day, and I know that's keeping a lot of our farmers busy here in Clay County and throughout the state. And farming's definitely picked up. It is
okay. I guess one of the ways you guys can measure now, when you're harvesting and the harvesting wagon machine is going down through the field, and you've got to do an entire row of corn now to fill your wagon, and last year you were maybe getting at least a wagon load and a half out of a row of corn, which means about a one-third difference in this year and last year.
Right.
And I guess a whole lot of nubbins, we call them.
A lot of nubbins, yeah. They didn't fully get fully developed on there, but at least there are some that we're able to harvest. So.
Okay, now what about the bean crop? Do you all have some acreage of beans?
We do have soybeans, so we'll harvest that a little bit later. We usually plant it to where we can harvest it after the corn is done to keep furthering our yields and our diversity.
Was the rain more?
It did help. The soybeans are looking good, Thomas. Those are
okay. That's what I think I heard. That also, that the soybean crop hadn't been affected by this this drought in this area. Well, in the entire country.
Right.
Drought and wet. That's what.
Yep.
And we hadn't had any of those good slow soaking rains this year.
We haven't.
But you know what?
I
noticed something coming across the bridge, which I do quite often, and that is I kind of look at the hay field down at the and look like that is maybe the best bumper crop of hay that's ever been grown on that land.
It is beautiful. I was admiring it.
So many more bales are this year than there was in the last harvest.
So the hay crop has been good, has still been good for everybody, so that's been good.
Okay, now look back at your list again. Now.
Look back at my list. I'm happy to talk about whatever. And
let's take a little short break, and I'll read the birthdays.
That'll work.
And we'll come back. Let you gather up, and let's see. Looking down through your birthday celebrants this week, and somewhere I had. Since we weren't here last week, I think we had a couple, and I think I've got them on here. Hopefully I do. Let's see. We've got Mr. Richard Green celebrated a birthday, Mr. Randy Davis, Mr. Kai Scottmoss, Ms. Zelma Gass celebrating a birthday. And then I think this is over in the Pine Hill area, Mr. Lanny Likens. His family called in to wish him a birthday. And also on this list, we have Mr. Emmett Brown, Ms. Vonda Gully, and Ashlyn Browning. And so we may try to make sure we get everyone that we missed last week. So with that, we'll come back here toward the end of the show, and we will use our highly sophisticated non-computerized system, and we will draw out a name and award our birthday prize. Compliments of WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, coming to you just live in the living color here on your radio dial, broadcasting from the Mighty Tower out at Midway. We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small-town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Individuals with substance use disorders are particularly susceptible to suicide and suicide attempts. Indeed, suicide is a leading cause of death among people who misuse drugs and alcohol. Approximately 22% of deaths by suicide involved alcohol intoxication with a blood alcohol content at or above the legal limit. 20% of suicide attempts involved opioids, including heroin and prescription painkillers, and 10.2% involved marijuana. The road to recovery can feel lonely, but there are resources to reassure you that you are not alone. Your path to recovery may look different from others, but recovery is possible and help is available. If you or someone you know is at risk of overdose, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-899-9789 for a 24/7, 365 resource for substance abuse treatment referrals. Or call the new 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline that provides free and confidential emotional support to people in suicidal crisis or emotional distress. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Resources and more information are also available at www.samhsa.gov. Recovery from substance use is possible, and suicide is preventable. This project is funded under a grant contract with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, Ms. April Smith-Patterson is here, and we'll talk a little bit about the conglomeration out in Mollison. I'll go back to a little bit of a personal memory. I know I started over at Tennessee Tech in the fall of 1962, and I knew who Doug Smith was. I knew he was from Hermity Springs and played some basketball down there, but I'd already been over at Tennessee Tech for at least 1 year, and I knew him and kind of kept up with him, and I know that, best I remember, he graduated with a degree in engineering, mm-hmm. went to California, mm-hmm. and got a real, real good job. And lo and behold, one day, the story came back that he had come back to Moss, and he and his dad were starting a broom handle factory. You know, and me just thinking, I said, Doug, what are you doing? You're leaving that industry out there and coming back to Moss and start a broom handle factory? Pretty good idea.
Well, it seemed like a good idea, and then I remember Dad saying, no, there just wasn't a lot of money in mopping broom handles. But
you know, we had a couple of those. We had another industry. I think a gentleman from McMinnville, Brock was his name, I believe. He had a mill here that I think he was buying hickory for hammer handles, and I think maybe he also was buying timber at that time for broom handles and things like that. I know they moved in here, and his son went to high school with me for a couple of years, and I do remember that. You know, but he was here before even then with those specialized wood products. But go from right there.
I can tell a little bit about the history and how that got started. And Thomas, you hit the nail on the head. That's where it got started in the late 60s, early 70s. Leaving California, I believe he was working on jet engines on planes out in the Mojave Desert. I remember those stories because he took me and Mom one time to visit. But, yeah, he came back here to Moss, Tennessee in Clay County and started making those mop and broom handles. And he'd go around to local sawmills and get their leftover wood that they weren't using, and that's what he made. And said there wasn't a lot of money in those mop and broom handles, sis, so I had to come up with something else, and that was the sawmilling industry. That's what he said he knew next best. That's what Paul had a sawmill when he was growing up, so he started the sawmill, and that escalated into doing some dry kiln lumber, and then he would take the bark, recycle it. That's how we got Barky Beaver started. All that's a recycled product of the bark. Dad did not like waste. And I'd like to say he was green before green was cool, because he recycled every part. We even have conveyors under our sawmill that collects all the sawdust that we reuse to use as fuel for our boiler system that drives all the lumber. And it's just, man, it's just such a neat thing to see all that innovation and that engineering mind that he had and how he recycled everything.
Okay, and the log home business itself, there he wanted to be a very, very strict traditionalist when he first started. Dad, tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I remember when I was like, Dad, how did you come up with the name Honest Abe Log Homes? And I think I remember him taking us, I don't know if you've ever been to where Abraham Lincoln was born,
yes.
His little log cabin up in Kentucky, and I think that just really spoke to Dad of the tradition of how families, you know, would go, they'd cut down the logs, the lumber, and they would build their houses and then build their families around it. And I think he loved that. He wanted to live in one himself. He thought others would too, and started out with poplar logs, which is our state tree. That poplar is very prevalent in the area, and that's what he started out making log homes out of.
No, I know that was not a real good idea.
It wasn't a real good idea.
Because, you know, we go around now and we look at all those old. We look at the materials used to build the wood in this building, and our window ledges here were, you know, 7-inch yellow poplar. But that yellow poplar that day was an old growth yellow poplar, which is totally different in the physical makeup of the new yellow poplar, it didn't have the built-in preservative like the old did it.
Right, and he found out later that poplar, I mean, it was a very heavy log to be able to build those houses, and sometimes it would check a lot easier. That's where you'd get a lot of those cracks. A lot of people didn't like that, Thomas. They didn't like that.
They didn't like the character.
They didn't like the character, but later they came up with doing the log homes out of pine. So we use the heart of every pine, so the log will never check or crack all the way through. So that's what the material we use today is pine, so white pine.
And is there any kind of artificial treatment on that, or other than just kiln dried?
Nope. What we do, we dry it. So years ago, when those families would cut those trees and build their houses, they didn't dry them first. That's one reason a lot of those cracks and checks would come in. So that's why we're very particular on making sure that we do dry all of our logs in a dry kiln. That Jackie Cherry Steel is a big part of. You know, you mentioned him earlier, and his wonderful sweet granddaughter who was on the volleyball team.
And I do know that Jackie, he told me once that, you know, with log homes, you don't want to paint a log home.
No.
He says the minute you put paint on a piece of raw wood, you kill it.
Yes.
As long as you allow it to be able to naturally breathe.
Right.
And shrink and enlarge naturally like it should,
right,
that, you know, you're not going to get the problem with rot.
Right. Right, and they will still naturally settle some, and they still do that, but at least they don't crack all the way through like they did 100 years ago when you're having to put newspaper up as wallpaper to keep the cold out, you know.
And I can do a little shout-out for you folks out there. I live in a home that is made of honest Abe log homes, but I did a drawing of it myself and laid everything out and took it out to the draftsman out there, Mr. Kendall, and he drew up a plan and bought the logs from you all, and they brought them up, and just so happens that my Mike Strong,
yeah,
works for
amazing.
You,
yeah.
And he came in and supervised his crew to put it together. But mine, it's a custom built. I don't know if there's anything else anywhere exactly like that. But you can, folks, this is kind of a plug for them. If you've got an idea in your head, put it on paper, take it out there, and they can convert it into a log home, an eco-panel home,
right,
a post and beam home. They're just all kinds of things. When you put your idea down on paper.
Right, and we've had people draw out their floor plans on a napkin before and be able to draw them. So, Thomas, that is so special and sweet. We need to do a story on you soon and get a story on that. That'd be great. Where were we? Honest
Okay, Aid? Now, like I said, that is the way the Honest Aid log homes got started.
Right.
And of course, for years and years that Abe's replica was on there, and we had a new rebranding and that was through the help of a young lady named Claudia Johnson.
Oh, yes, and Claudia's still with us, and she does so much, and I tell you what, that's a gifted lady right there.
Well, you know, that was, we enticed her into coming and help last year with our work, with our grant here, where we were looking at doing our Rolly Hole Marble Museum, and what Claudia did was she came up with a plan for the use of the courthouse for the next 150 years. I mean, a comprehensive plan, Rolly Hole Marbles being part of that, created a beautiful website.
Yes, she did.
That has lots of material, of course, from Honest Abe on there, the marble tradition, just lots of things on that. And I know right now she's helping with a couple of tourist grants here in Clay County. I know she lives down in Lawrence County now,
yes,
I believe.
Yeah.
At one time she was with the Upper Cumberland Business Journal up here, and she loves the Upper Cumberland.
She loves it, and she loves history of all kinds. I mean, she is... I've never seen anyone that knows more about history than Miss Claudia, that is for sure.
And then this year, she is not officially helping us, but she gave us another name, a man named Rusty Somerville, who did little things like design Opryland, the Country Music Hall of Fame, the World Hall of Fame now, been on all kinds of major TV, and he's coming back and going to work with us this year in a consulting basis for just a little bit above minimum wage.
Well, that's very
that's
nice.
That's the kind of people we like. But now you go ahead, Ken. I don't like bothering people.
No, I love it. I love it. But yeah, so Honest Abe is definitely probably the most popular of all the companies that we have. We still have Happy Truckin'. I think Dad always loved that song, Happy Trails to You. You know, so that's kind of where that came from. But they'll do all of our trucking of all of our log homes, of all our mulch, you know, or the logs and lumber. So that's still going strong. And then the newest, I guess, business we've started a couple years ago was the Eco Panels of Tennessee, which is, you know, people ask me all the time, April, what is an Eco Panel house? I'm like, it's literally like you're living in a Yeti cooler. That's the best way that I know how to explain it, just the type of building structure that it is. It's literally like a cooler.
I know Mike likes building those when he gets a chance.
They go up so quick.
You just put the puzzle together, you know, everything's pre-dealt, pre-set. Yeah. All your electrical things are there.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about drilling holes through logs. And
that is true. They both have their perks there. But, yeah, we've got a YouTube channel for Eco Panels. If you want to know anything and everything about Eco Panels of Tennessee, just go over on YouTube and type in Eco Panels of Tennessee. We've got a lot of good content. We've even got some funny content. I know we talked Nick into wrestling one of those panels to see how strong they were. I don't know that many people know it's actually Nick because he's wearing a mask, but I am going to go ahead and share that. That's a good funny one.
We'll out him on that.
I did. He's so good. Bless his heart. He'll do anything. He's so sweet. He is a true blessing, I tell you, to our family. And then me and my brother both, we have our separate farming industries that we have started, and I know that he's very heavy in corn production, and then Nick and I are more heavy on the beef cattle side with some crops, big on the Akaushi beef. Sounds like sushi, kind of, but anyway, it's a Japanese Wagyu breed, and Akaushi just means red cow. That's what it means, and we're selling some of our beef direct to consumer. If anyone's ever interested in Akaushi beef, y'all just let me know. We can hook you up.
Okay, now the management of Honest Abe.
Yes.
Now, who is the manager now?
So the president of Honest Abe and Eco Panels is Mr. Josh Beasley. That's Rick Denton's nephew, actually.
Okay, yeah.
And he is absolutely incredible, and I couldn't say enough good things about him on here. He keeps it going, and then we have Jeff Clements, who is his vice president of sales, and then Jackie Cherry is still our vice president of manufacturing. So that's our trio.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things too. You know, that you all are really to be complimented on. If you go to a college and get a degree that is useful to Honest Abe, they will hire you.
Oh yes, and we have a lot of job openings, Tom.
Now that's another thing too. That here, and you know, for years and years, you would go around and come election time, but what does Clay County need? We need more jobs. No, we don't need more jobs. Oh. We need more people getting jobs here.
Yeah.
Taking the jobs that are available to them.
Yeah.
You all probably have dozens of openings.
We do
right
have
now.
Dozens of openings, and I've never seen it this way before, Thomas. Usually, you know, we'll have a couple of positions available, but now, I mean, multiple positions available, you know. I've never seen it. But, yeah, if you guys are looking for a job, we've got several openings. Just come on by, send your application. We've hired several from the chamber that have done the applications through them.
Right, that's a neat program.
That's been great. Very good.
Okay, what about your mom now? Is she still fairly active in
the... She is the glue that holds it all together. Daddy did not realize how good of a woman he married when he found my mama. And if the story goes corrected, I believe he saw her crossing the road right out here in front of the historic Clay County Courthouse and asked who she was and called her up. But she's the glue. She still works every day.
And that is, I think that has gained some notoriety, hasn't it, throughout the country, that she, a female,
yeah,
that is in charge of a big-time conglomeration.
She is. We are definitely all female owned and operated, but she is still there. She helps me with the little one. She loves him and is enjoying that. But, yeah, she is the glue that holds it together. Absolutely. Let's see, Thomas. Okay, I think, you know, talking about all these different businesses. I know my brother, we talked about the farms. I know that he still has the high fence deer hunts at McFarland.
Barky Beaver.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit about how's this stuff made?
Okay, well, I love Barky Beaver mulch, y'all. So what we do is when a log comes into the sawmill, we have a debarker. Looks like a piece of metal with a bunch of teeth on it.
Skins
the log. It takes all the bark off, and so we'll recycle that bark and we'll take it to Barky Beaver. And what we do then is we grind it. We've got these huge grinders that will put that in and grind that mulch up. And then we also dye some mulch. So we have, you know, black, red, cherry brown. I mean, you name it anymore and you can get it. I know Dollywood even orders a special blend of a bark and chip mix. And what that means is we do bark mulch, which is all natural hardwood bark mulch, but we also do a chip mulch, so to say. So if there's pieces of the lumber that we're not able to use, when we edge it, we'll chop that up and make chips out of it. It's also IPEMA certified, so playgrounds. I know that all the school districts have to have IPEMA certified playground material, and that just means if a child falls, it'll absorb so much of that concussive like force. It will help absorb some of that fall. But we also dye some of those different colors. Dollywood likes a mixture of bark and chips so it doesn't blow away. But it has really been busy this year. Those guys, bless their hearts, it's been
okay. Do you have a marketing chain and a set group of retailers?
Yes. Aunt Mary is still, and Ricky, and we've got Jackie. Those are kind of trio that oversees and kind of helps keep Barky going. We've got retailers all over. You know, Barky will ship out 100 loads a week. If we could find truck drivers, we could do more than that, especially in the busy season. It's a much bigger business than I think you'd really realize thinking about mulch.
Where all do you ship to?
Louisville, Elizabethtown, Nashville, Alabama. They even shipped a load of chips to Florida, Thomas. The shipping alone was more than the product. It's getting harder and harder for folks to, I guess, find some of that product, but over.
Seems like my old friend Roger Coleman used to haul some maybe to Pennsylvania. Had to set that route
Indiana,
up that way.
Indiana, Ohio, you know. We really like, you know, 250-mile radius, but it gets on out there past that quite a bit.
Okay,
too.
Now that I've said something, what about the log dealerships that you have?
Yes.
You've got some partners in that? Plus
right.
You want to tell a little bit about your distributorship of the
right.
Log now?
So we have a wonderful network of independent dealers, and so what that means is, you know, if you're in, we've got several in Indiana, Virginia, North Carolina, Kentucky, Texas, goodness, we even was working with one in Mexico, and we've even shipped to Japan before. But these independent dealers are kind of, you could do it, Thomas, if you weren't this close to us probably, but if you wanted to build log homes or sell log home packages, we'll give you a price. You buy it from us, and then you can resell it. You can put them up yourself. But, yeah, that's something a lot of people probably don't realize is the dealer network that we have of independent little dealerships all across the U.S.
Okay, and you ship, I know, California. I know that's a major disaster there. But on the positive side, you know, I guess it's really not positive, but you know that you're going to start getting requests for log home packages for folks to rebuild. And how much of a strain does that put on you all to try to keep up with when there are things like that happen? Well, like the thing up in Gatlinburg, Sevier
right.
County.
That was so sad and devastating to so many people. We had a cabin up there in Gatlinburg.
Right.
Ours and Joe Eisenberg,
yeah,
they
right.
both burned. There is a very big demand for that, and we prepare as best we can. So Jackie still buys up plenty of timber. So if we sell a log house, we've got the material to on site.
Okay, now the buying of material, do you all go out and buy on the tree for the pine, or do you have folks, you know, like the loggers in all these places that have it the for the go ready for you to go get the log, or do you?
Right.
do you get them sometimes brought in square sawed?
Right. So the pine industry is a lot different than our hardwood industry. You know, around here we're going to go out, we'll have loggers, we'll go out and we'll cut them as long as they're, you know, mature hardwood trees. We'll cut them, take the whole log to the sawmill. But with Honest Abe, we don't necessarily go by standing pine timber somewhere and then try to find a logger to go in and cut that down. We'll use independent mills. So like there's several in Georgia, Sandy Mills, for example, she's already got them cut into squares or cants, and that's how we like to buy them, is already cut into those squares and bring them here for us to dry.
Okay, now looking at this, sir, and the 14-inch logs.
There's a lot. I mean, and those are some big logs.
That's
those
what,
are a lot harder to find.
Right, that's what I think. You know, I'd have to think that, you know, those will be getting harder and harder, because I know a lot of the evergreen farmers, that they usually, a lot of that goes to pulpwood. We know that. And, of course, we see, if you go traveling, you see the big trees going down the road with 50-foot logs on them and that kind of thing. But, you know, you're looking for the ones that are just a little bit bigger than that, where you can get that heartwood.
Right.
And now, you know, a 14-inch
big
log is, what are they, 14 by 8 or 14 by 6?
There's, let's see. My goodness. We get both. Right now, if we can get anything in any length, we're going to be tickled. So I've not paid attention as closely to getting exact sizes, because it's been hard to find. This has been a very hard year. A lot of those mills have went out, or the prices have skyrocketed and they're able to sell it for something else. I mean, it's been a little bit of a difficult year this year.
And on their end of that, too, is getting labor there.
Yes.
Because it's not just in Clay County.
No.
It is nationwide.
Right.
And, you know, and it takes a special breed of person that goes out in the woods and cuts trees and things
dangerous
like that.
Job.
Even though it is highly mechanized now, where they take the front end saw on a tractor or something and catch it with a big tongue, lay it over and bark it and throw it on the truck and get it out. It's a whole lot different it was than when you went out and cut it and trimmed it and topped it and used a cane hook to roll it up on the truck.
Goodness me, yeah. I was thinking back, even my grandfather had a team of mules, and that's what he loved to do, was clear land and log. And I remember Dad telling us he helped clear a lot of that land when they were starting to build Del Hollow Dam. In the 40s, so that was neat.
My dad worked on Lake Cumberland.
Did he really?
Cordell Carter had the contract to clear that. But, you know, and I, logging with mules, to me it was always amazing that pair of mules was there, and the fellows that hitched the logs to the mules, they would be sometimes over 100 yards away from where the logging yard was at, and they'd send the mules up there, and the people up there would send them back, and they would go back and forth. They didn't have to walk. I mean, to me, that was kind of an amazing thing.
It is amazing. Those were my grandfather's prize mules. You didn't do nothing. Those were really taken care of. But I know why. It was livelihood. That's good.
All right. Back again. Where are we going next?
Well, Thomas, I feel like we've covered thing.
Okay, let's take a little break while you gather our thoughts, and we'll be right back. We got to pay for this thing, dadgummit.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Individuals with substance use disorders are particularly susceptible to suicide and suicide attempts. Indeed, suicide is a leading cause of death among people who misuse drugs and alcohol. Approximately 22% of deaths by suicide involved alcohol intoxication with a blood alcohol content at or above the legal limit. 20% of suicide attempts involved opioids, including heroin and prescription painkillers, and 10.2% involved marijuana. The road to recovery can feel lonely, but there are resources to reassure you that you are not alone. Your path to recovery may look different from others, but recovery is possible and help is available. If you or someone you know is at risk of overdose, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-899-9789 for a 24/7, 365 resource for substance abuse treatment referrals. Or call the new 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline that provides free and confidential emotional support to people in suicidal crisis or emotional distress, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Resources and more information are also available at www.samhsa.gov. Recovery from substance use is possible, and suicide is preventable. This project is funded under a grant contract with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, April and I have been here talking. We have covered just all kinds of things, and I know you have to have some little something edge back there that we can finish up with. Surely, I mean, there has to be down on the farm.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could finish up with y'all come out to the farm and see us, and we are having that big Southern Marketplace event, October 7th and 8th. I know I've shared that a couple of times, but
sure. The details on that, there is admission, parking.
So the parking is all free. Now, we do charge $5 or $3 for seniors and military, 12 and under is free. And just so y'all know, the biggest portion of all these proceeds go to our Clay County Young Farmers and Ranchers, which is a part of our Tennessee Farm Bureau program. And we've done a lot of really neat things. We've donated over 100 duffel bags to the state Department of Children's Services for those kids that will get taken out of homes. Instead of using trash bags, we donated a bunch of duffel bags for them. We do food baskets every year, especially at Christmas time. We'll adopt families to take care of. We've done a lot of different things with that money to give back to our community, because that's what we want to do with that. It's a community event. We're there to support one another and then to give back. So that's what the purpose of that Southern Marketplace is. So that's a little bit about the admission and where the proceeds go. And we'd just love to have everybody. October 7th, that's a Friday. We're open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. So if y'all don't want to cook Friday night, y'all come out. There's all kinds of amazing food trucks that are there. Hooli Hut, tater cakes, there's barbecue. Man, and it is good stuff, Thomas. I get excited just to eat for 2 days. It's really good.
Okay, now I'm in to go. Log raising.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one to finish up on. Let's talk, you know, the tradition of log raising,
right.
Barn raising.
Right, which is funny on the farm. Like, I think about the barn sale and stuff. Pa used to cut out barn patterns and
right.
sell them, and that's what he did, and that's what... anyway, that was a fun little family history. So that's one reason we keep that red barn there in the center focus. But log raisins are kind of similar. We will get a bunch of people together, and we go over all the details, and we build a little baby log house right in front of you so you can see kind of how the logs fit together, especially for those that would want to try to build their own. So we literally build a little log house.
Okay, now, real quick, the different types of logs that are used to make the log homes here.
Right.
Yeah, the old traditional.
The old traditional way the logs we used was poplar.
Right, and the cut in the corners.
Yes, dovetail corners. We even do round. We'll do saddle notch. We do single notch. There's lots of different ways. We're really big on the single notch. That's kind of our number one profile that we will do. But now we only use white pine. I don't know if you wanted to know the species, but we use white pine now. Y'all, it won't check all the way through.
You know, and, of course, a lot of we look at the dovetail cabins, and we see, you know, the beauty of how those logs interlock and everything. But I wonder how many people have ever thought why. And why those were made. Do you know why they were made?
Well, I am over here thinking, boy, he's got me here. This is a little embarrassing that I wouldn't know this answer off the top of my head. But most of it is to kind of help repel the water.
And one of the big things is that when the logs shrank, instead of shrinking apart, they slid down and kept locking closer together.
Yep.
Now, you probably knew that.
It just took me a minute. I was like, oh, my goodness, if I ever get stunned, Thomas, it takes me a minute to get my brain back away.
Well, you have to jump start it.
Yeah, sometimes.
But, you know, that is something, you know, a lot of folks, they think, you know, that's a beautiful thing.
It is pretty.
And, you know, I know a lot of folks take it upon themselves, and a lot of folks do it. They, with a little sawmill, they actually go out and make their own pattern and build their own dovetail log.
Yeah.
And, of course, that is the reasoning behind that. As the logs shrank, we're together instead of separated.
Yep. We fixed a lot of those problems, though, Thomas. I don't think it'll do that anymore, but, you know.
Yeah, of course, the chinking that goes in there. Of course, you use a chinking. You don't use red clay.
We don't do that anymore, yeah.
chopped up leaves and all those things in there and put them together.
Anything you could,
Of course, my grandfather's old house that he built, golly, in 1920s, somewhere or another, still sitting in the old field over there. Of course, it's not good shape, but
special,
most of those logs, you know, around the bottom, you lost those logs. But just to be able to walk by and know that, you know, one of your grandfather, great-grandfather actually, you know, took a splitting maul and split them up and took foot adds and carved them out and put them together. And now we can go out malls at Honest Abe and buy something that looks just like what they did back in those days.
Yeah. Hopefully it lasts a lot longer, y'all.
Yeah. Well, I think we have just about run out of time, and we have got a winner of our birthday prize today, and that is Miss Iceland Browning. And, of course, the procedure on that is you go over by the chamber, and they'll have an envelope there for you, and you can pick that up. And let's see, with that, I don't know, we've got a football game coming up this weekend. I don't think we've got any kind of car shows in here this weekend. This used to be our traditional weekend for ours at the Cumberland Run, but that is kind of not going on right now, and we're not sure about the future of it. But it's something we always enjoy putting together and having folks come out. You know, anytime we can get folks to come around the square and just take a look. You know, we have, I believe, about between 4,000 and 5,000 vehicles that come through this four-way stop every day. And just if we could get one out of every 100 stop and spend $5,
That's really good.
It's amazing to think of the traffic that comes through here each day. And a lot of them are trucks loaded down. Some of them heading out to Honestate. Some of them heading up to Anderson's up in Tompkinsville. And it's amazing the traffic we have here. And this little town is an amazing little town that managed to retain its flavor of the old South and try to move into the next century kicking and stomping all the way.
Aww.
But April, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And remind everyone, we'll be here again next week, good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. And, you know, may the good Lord bless you and keep you this week. And if all possible, come join us again next week. And with that, we'll say good day, Clay County.